We are here at the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis. Jim Bullard and his staff kindly invited us here to do the Hays Advantage Special Edition on the road. Jim has been president since April of 2008. He joined the St. Louis Fed back in 1990 in the research department. He became the deputy director of monetary analysis, again, taking over the helm of presidency. What a time. What a time to become president of the Fed Bank, Jim.
Yeah, it's been very exciting. Welcome to the bank. Thanks for coming.
Well, it's nice to be here. And as I recall, I think you honored me by giving me your first broadcast interview after you became president. And then, of course, I
want you to remember that.
I always will. That's right. Oh, boy. Well, you know, I was thinking, Jim, and I'm sure everybody at the bank has, too, that what really struck me when Steve, and I was saying, Steve Matthews, right, from our Bloomberg print team is here with us as well. And when Steve and you were here last October, you gave a speech to the NABE, and you were so adamant when we did our interview. Kathleen, you know, a little impatient, stop talking about the funds rate. This monetary policy is now about the Fed's balance sheet. And you back then, over a year ago, where you're saying it's not a done deal, really, whether or not we do more quantitative easing. And if we do have to do more, the Fed needs to be systematic. The Fed, I'm paraphrasing, really needs to spell out its approach. Suddenly, the FOMC seem to have gotten on board, because that is pretty much how this QE2 was set up in that policy statement.
Well, I think that's right, and that's because when the short-term interest rate, the policy rate, is at zero, you have to think about other ways to approach monetary policy, and that's what the FOMC has done. Of course, we did have our purchase program of MBS securities in 2009 and finished up early in 2010, but I think once a negative shock hit the economy in the spring of 2010 here, then that really brought matters to a head, because the question was at that point, well, how is the Fed going to react to that, if at all, and how is policy going to be conducted going forward, given that you're going to get shocks even when you're at zero nominal interest rates?
So as one of the newest Fed Bank presidents, how it seems like you've really helped push the debate in this direction. How did this happen?
Well, steady talk, I guess. I'm just trying to, bring my views to the table as best I can and convince my colleagues.
What's going to be key to the success or failure of this latest round of quantitative easing?
Well, I think in many ways it's been successful already, because what happened was that there was a long run-up to the November decision that really went from the Jackson Hole speech that the chairman made, which was in August, all the way through November. And during that period, we saw financial market impact that was fairly significant and that was very conventional. It was the same kind of impact that you would see if the Fed was targeting interest rates and we were, planning to lower the policy rate. So what we saw was real yields declined substantially, as measured by the TIPS data. The dollar depreciated, the expected inflation rate went up, and so all these things were very, and equity prices went up. So these are all very conventional sorts of financial market reactions to an easing of monetary policy. So in that sense, I think it was very successful. Then you have to ask, those are financial market effects. Does that really impact, the real economy, real consumption, investment in the economy? And for those effects, I think you would expect those to take anywhere from 6 to 12 months, according to the empirical research on this kind of thing. So those would still be sitting there out there in the future, and we'll have to see if those materialize or not. But given that the financial market effects were so significant and so conventional, I would expect the real effects to follow on during the spring or fall of next year.
If bond yields keep rising, the 10-year notes had quite a turnaround since November 3rd when the quantitative easing was announced.
But again, everything's priced in ahead of the decision, so you've got a forward-looking market. This move was fairly well telegraphed ahead of time for people that were watching financial markets, so I don't think it was very much of a secret. And And then you got a lot of sort of buying the rumor, selling the news kind of activity. So I think there's some of that going on. But I think the financial market impact during the fall was, you know, entirely conventional.
If the Fed has said it wants to push inflation higher and change inflation expectations, though, isn't it logical that you're going to push bond yields higher? Do higher bond yields blunt some of the impact, the conventional impact you would be getting with easier policy, which is bringing down long-term rates?
Yeah, I think another thing you have to keep in mind, since rates are at very low levels, it's pretty important to decompose them into real components and expected inflation components. And so this most recent rise looks like mostly real and not very much expected inflation just in the last few days here. You know, you could attribute that to better news on the economy, and you know, sort of other changes in the outlook, which is, you know, sort of more bullish and would lead real rates to be higher.
What do you see in the economy right now? Seeing the best gain in payrolls in 5 months, retail sales stronger than expected. In the industrial production report today, we saw manufacturing up 0.5%. We see some steady increases. Has the Fed started QE2 just when the economy is switching into a slightly higher gear?
I do think the news on the economy has been somewhat better, and it's very encouraging. But of course, you know, a few numbers don't make a trend. So we're looking for better data as we go forward. I think the jobs number in particular was encouraging, but again, we'll have to see how the economy unfolds here over the coming months. Yeah, I'm cautiously optimistic, but you never know till, and that's part of the reason why I've argued so much for state contingent policy, that you should adjust the policy as the data comes in, because you really don't know how the economy is going to evolve. And so if we were interest rate targeting, then we would be adjusting in reaction to developments in the economy. So I want to do the same kind of thing with the balance sheet policy.
Okay. Is there a chance that if the economy picks up enough, the Fed would be questioning whether or not it does this whole $600 billion of QE2?
I think that's a possibility, but it would depend on data, hard data that would come in and cause us to reassess our view of the economy and where the economy was going out there in the future. So I think we'd need to. One of the things I've been very concerned about is this disinflation trend in the U.S. during 2010. So even though the economy has been recovering all year and the real GDP has been growing, we've seen inflation coming down.
Okay, we're going to continue our conversation with Jim Bullard, president of the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis, here on the Hayes Advantage. This portion of the show brought to you by ZoeManhattan.com, part of the solution.